Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America. But please hold your calls for the time being, because of right now we have with us on the line Nancy Levant. And Nancy writes articles for newswithviews.com, and you can go up on the webpage there, newswithviews.com, and go over in the left side and scroll down. You'll come to Nancy's articles. Nancy's going to be with us for a couple of hours this evening, a delightful guest. We're going to be talking, well, about several things. I thought maybe the first hour we'd talk about a recent article she had written about Executive Order 13397. That's Executive Order 13397, which calls for the merging of faith-based churches with the Office of Homeland Security, or as some people refer to it, as the Big Brother really controlling every aspect of our lives, in the name of course, fighting those wicked terrorists, Osama bin Laden, who's living in a cave over there someplace. And time and time again, we see examples of a contrived emergencies. We find they arrested a couple of boys because they were Muslim boys. They had 600 cell phones. What was their crime? Well, they had a picture of a bridge, and they were going to use those 600 cell phones to blow up the bridge. But, of course, they had to be released. Most of the instances we've seen in this country where people have been arrested have been where they've had agent provocateurs, government agents going in and suggesting to people that they should do this, that, or the other thing that was bad. You remember Padilla? He was the fellow with the dirty bomb. He was the one American citizen they held in solitary confinement for 3 years. They refused to give him a hearing. And then when they finally were forced to give him a trial because they didn't want to, they wanted simply to have a military tribunal and send him to prison forever, but the Supreme Court would let them do it. And then when they charged him, they didn't even mention the dirty bomb. And then, of course, what you haven't heard was that one of the government agents testified, he admitted they'd tried to get Padilla to become a spy for them, a snitch, to infiltrate the Muslim movement. And as a good Muslim, he said he couldn't do that. That's when they charged him with this made-up thing, and they kept him in prison for 3 years. Well, can we really trust the people who would do things of that sort and put innocent people in prison and leave them there for long periods of time without either the right of habeas corpus or even knowing really what the charges are against them? And now, of course, they want to combine the churches, the faith-based churches, with the Office of Homeland Security. And so I'm going to let Nancy pick up and tell you the story. Thank you so very much for being with us this evening, Nancy.
Thank you, Dr. Montes. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
This is a new audience, so you can tell us exactly what you told us on the other program.
Oh, goodness. Well, basically, this executive order gives very vague administrative authority over the faith-based churches. Now, faith-based churches are churches who are 501c3 churches. That's about close to 90% of all churches in the United States of all faiths. And it basically makes it easier for these churches to take federal money. And once this happens, you have a couple of problems. First of all, you get a violation of church and state. This plan kind of puts a lot of weight of the federal government behind religious groups.
Hold that too. In fact, we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right, our guest is Nancy Levant, and you go ahead and pick up the story there.
Okay. This plan throws the weight of the federal government behind our churches, and basically in order to solve social problems. Now, our houses of worship have played a very important role in this country since its founding. However, we also know that we rejected the intrusion of government into our churches and our religious beliefs based on our First Amendment, because we believe that it exceeded the rightful authority of governments to come between religious belief and government. Federally funded employment discrimination is unfair, and under the president's proposal, churches will be legally permitted to discriminate on the basis of religion when hiring people, despite receiving public dollars. And this is something that we cannot do. Religion could be forced on those in need of assistance. What if you go to a faith-based organization for some type of charity work, and you will receive assistance as long as you receive ministering to, according to the church where you happen to go for help. Now, we have to remember that government always, always, always regulates what it finances. Now, what I want to say to your listeners right off the bat is that when you're talking about the Department of Homeland Security coming over some type of administrative authority over the churches, let's think about this in a broader context. The Department of Homeland Security now has authority over banks, libraries, our Department of Transportation and our road system, our entire infrastructural system. It has a regulation now over trade and commerce systems, the Real ID that's forthcoming in May of 2008, over our computer systems, our telephone and cell phone systems, our post office, our television sets. We have panoptical technologies everywhere. These are the cameras that watch us when we're in stores, watch us on our street corners. We now have electronic readers that can read our license plates off of our cars. We have RFID technology. The Department of Homeland Security has found its way into our prison system and into our right to travel.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Nancy Levant talking about Big Brother. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking with Nancy Levant this evening. And Nancy's talking about a new executive order, which, of course, has the force of law, which begins to bring the Department of Homeland Security into a position of control of faith-based churches. Now, what are faith-based churches? Well, we assume those are churches that are taking money from the federal government. And, of course, I think this was such a terrible idea. And what really is so discouraging to me is so many churches say, well, gee, as long as they're giving us money so that we can use to help the poor, and think of all the good we can do with that government money. And many of our major ministries have taken countless millions of dollars from the federal government, but whatever the government subsidizes, the government controls.
That's right.
And, of course, the next question is, what about the churches which are 501c3? They are agents of the state. They're no longer churches. They are simply an extension of the state. They've become a corporation. They no longer represent God. They represent government.
That's exactly right.
And so will they be included in this increase in government regulation of the churches exactly as they were in Hitler's Germany? So you pick up the story from there, Nancy.
Well, you know, it's like I was saying before, the Department of Homeland Security has become involved in practically everything. They're involved in federal, state, and local government. They're involved in our right to use power and our power grid systems. And, you know, now we have the churches. And, you know, the Department of Homeland Security, we have to remember this, is a paramilitary system. They have administrative authority over FEMA, which is a disaster response and recovery organization. Why has the Department of Homeland Security come into play with the American churches? My take on this, my sense of this, is that number one, crisis has become very big business in the United States. It is being used to reclaim private property in the millions of acres via floods and forest fires and conservation corridors and biosphere reserves and buffer zones, multi-millions of acres. These acres are collected and owned by government or transnational corporations or land trusts like the Nature Conservancy, and all of these are partnered to the United Nations and the World Bank. We're seeing these constant relocation drills. I had said on our last broadcast that millions of American citizens have been relocated or forcibly moved from their homes and property due to catastrophes, and that in the last month alone, upwards of 700,000 people were forcibly moved in the U.S. due to flooding and fire in the western states, New York, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. Now, these relocation mandates were spelled out in the U.N. document called Agenda 21. This was all part of this pre-planning of the dialectic, which included the collection of all private property globally. And that's a direct mission of Agenda 21. Now, when all of a sudden the churches have become disaster response and recovery assistance to the federal government, one really starts to put the dots together.
You know, I've heard, there's some information up on the Internet, that some ministers have been invited to come to meetings at the Office of Homeland Security and told that if there is an emergency in this country, and certainly that they should begin using the concept of Romans 13, telling their parishioners that they should obey the government. After all, that's what Christ had ordered. Paul had written in Romans 13 that we should always obey the government, no matter what they did, no matter how corrupt they were, how terrible they were. And that the fact that our government, somebody in government, would suggest that the ministers begin preaching Romans 13. I mean, where does the government get off telling ministers how to preach? And then, of course, anybody who's read that wonderful book we carry by Dr. Erwin Lutzer, the senior pastor at the Moody Bible Church in Chicago, and in Reverend Lutzer's book, Hitler's Cross, he tells about how in Hitler's Germany, why the ministers were ordered, told by the government, to preach Romans 13, back the Führer, because, of course, you know, Christ told you never to oppose what the government's doing. I see a similarity between what happened in Hitler's Germany and what is increasingly is happening here in America as we face the terrible threat of Osama bin Laden, who lives in a cave somewhere in Pakistan.
Well, that's exactly right. What you're seeing is the absolute dissolving of separation of church and state. When the federal government can send a paramilitary system to speak with pastors and priests and rabbis all across this country and tell them what they are to tell parishioners in case of a national emergency, well, something is terribly, terribly wrong here. That means that our pastors and our ministers have no freedom whatsoever. They are being dictated to by a military system. And, you know, this is the SS. This is the KGB. This is Nazi Germany. What else would you call it? There's no other frame of reference for this, is there?
Well, now, do we know how this executive order is being implemented? Have we heard anything more about it other than the fact that Executive Order 13397 is now the law of the land?
It is the law of the land. It was the law of the land on March 7th of this year. It was implemented, I believe, 45 days later. So as of, I think, April 21st or April 22nd of 2006, this executive order is in effect, and this new office has been raised in the Department of Homeland Security. Now, technically, what it says is that it is going to make money flow, federal money, grant money, flow much easier, much quicker into the hands of these faith-based or 501c3 churches. But, you know, since when does the government not regulate what it controls.
Well, of course, they would say that this would be just in case we have an emergency, like we had a major flood or fire or earthquake, or maybe we would have a war. You know, if certainly we had a war and we had a nuclear attack or a terrorist attack, we need to have, of course, everybody working together to help the people. And I agree we need everybody working together, but we don't want the federal government telling the churches how to be charitable. We had, you know, certainly the Salvation Army. We had the American Baptist Association down in New Orleans and in Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina. But it wasn't a government operation. It was a church operation. It was financed by the churches, not by the government. And my concern is, as you're pointing out, whatever the government subsidizes, the government controls.
Well, absolutely. And think of it this way, too. We have all of these new paramilitary systems that have been set up in this country in the last 4 years. We have the Department of Homeland Security. We have the militarizing of FEMA. We have the merging of all of these national armies under the leadership of the United Nations and the control of the United Nations. We have base closings in every state in the United States. Now, this has been going on for 30 years.
No, of course, but that's because we're sending so many of our troops overseas. We've got troops in 130 nations throughout the world. Little wonder that President Ahmadinejad recently said America wants an empire. And I think there might be a lot of people, whether you like Ahmadinejad or not, who might agree with him. Why would we have a troop stationed in 130 nations? Why are we still occupying Germany 60 years after the Second World War ended?
Absolutely.
And Japan 60 years after the Second World War ended, and South Korea 50 years after the Korean War ended? Why do we have our troops all over the world today, unless, of course, we really do want an empire?
Well, that and the fact that most Western countries have done the same thing. And, you know, I think that we are creating this new one world military. And I think that the American taxpayer is footing the bill for this. I think that as we are closing our military bases all over our homeland, we are, our taxpayers are building them all over the world, not here. And, you know, I'm very, very, very concerned. My greatest concern, and I have said this many times, is that we have a martial law system that has been laid into place through many executive orders, many, many presidents having created this system. And this was all prior to 9/11, all of it. And we have a system set in place now where all we need is a presidential signature, and the country is officially declared into a state of martial law. And the first thing that happens, if that declaration is ever made, is that our Constitution and our constitutional rights and freedoms are suspended. That is the language that is used in the executive order. All banks are taken over. All transportation is taken over. All food stores are taken over. Now, when you combine that knowledge with the NAFTA and the CAFTA and the FTAA, and you combine that knowledge with the raising and full operation of the World Bank, the World Trade Organization, the World Health Organization, the international courts, you know, on and on and on, all of these global governance structures, you know, it's you realize that our country is being taken down. It's being dismantled. And they are now, I think that the players in this game realize that America at some point is going to realize what is happening, which is why they have raised this tremendous paramilitary system, this brand new paramilitary system in this country. They have used every excuse in the book why it has been raised. But the truth of the matter is the global governance has arrived. It's here. All of their infrastructures are in place, and they're up and running.
And, of course, the last thing they want is for the American people to realize until it's just too late. Could have really happened here in America? Ladies and gentlemen, It has happened.
It has happened.
Well, Nancy, you go ahead and pick the story up.
Well, you know, I think that the churches are being actually used to help when the big crisis hits. It could be in the form of a pandemic. It could be in the form of simultaneous nuclear events. It could be in the form of horrific cross-national weather emergencies. Any number. The stock market could crash at any moment in time. There are so many potential issues that could actually result in a declaration of martial law. And I think that the churches are going to be used to appease the public, to get the public to do what they are told, and to allow this ushering in of this new system of government.
And of course, one of the things that really worries me is I believe the Bush administration is determined to go to war in the Middle East with Syria and Iran. Everything points in that direction. It appears that everything is being done now to alienate Iran and Syria. And if we do attack Iran and Syria, why, we will inflame the entire Islamic world and create the clash of civilizations that Samuel Huntington has warned us against. America, even with all of our military might, is still the greatest debtor nation in the world today. And the only way we can keep this system going is to borrow money from other countries. But what happens if the whole world turns against America and we stand alone, perhaps with Israel, you know, against all the rest of the world? And either they're aligned against us or they're not at our side. Perhaps England will be, but other than that, why, this is a frightening thing to contemplate. It would be very easy to lob a few atom bombs or nuclear weapons into America from a passing ship. You don't need intercontinental ballistic missiles, or even send a ship into our ports and have it blow up in New York Harbor or in Los Angeles or in Long Beach or in Seattle. These things can happen, and, you know, if we attack other nations, should we be surprised if they would attack us back again?
Well, that's absolutely right. And, you know, consider this. Is America the sacrificial lamb of the new world government? Does America have to go completely in order for them to pull this off? We are the beacon of freedom. We are the people that have been raised to believe that we have freedom and that we have rights. And, you know, freedom and rights for the individual do not exist under this new system of governance. It's a two-class system. There are the elites, or the very, very, very rich in the world, and these are usually the corporate owners, and then there are the rest of humanity. Now, the other thing that we have to think of is, and we have to bring Agenda 21 into this argument. Agenda 21 says many things, but primarily there are two missions in Agenda 21. One is the confiscation of all private property rights globally. That means no one but government anymore, anywhere on the globe, owns private land. And the second mission is to depopulate the planet by approximately two-thirds to three-fourths. And, of course, this is this whole sustainability argument, which...
Hold myself right there, Nancy. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Nancy Levant, and she's talking about the real threat to America, and that there really is a master plan behind everything that's going on, and most Americans have never heard of it. It's called Agenda 21. Now, simply, Agenda 21 is the agenda for the 21st century. It was really designed back in 1992. It came out of the Second Earth Summit meeting, which was held in Rio in 1992, under the auspices of Prince Charles and Al Gore, and a small group of people had met on the a Prince of Wales yacht, the Britannia, and they planned Agenda 21. It was then accepted by the world's leader in 1992 and is being implemented today. And as Nancy points out, it calls for the destruction of the rights of private property. It is an agenda for a worldwide communist system where everything is regulated and controlled. Any one of our listeners who doubts that can go up on the Internet and look up Agenda 21. You'll be surprised to find out that it involves FEMA taking over control of land, and FEMA, of course, combining with this whole move towards absolute control of everything. The information's there, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to track it down and find out if Nancy's telling you the truth, and I can assure you she is. So you pick up the story there, Nancy.
Okay, well, the two main issues of Agenda 21 are to gain control of all private property and to depopulate the planet. And once again, we come back to these faith-based churches. What role do they play in this grand scheme? Well, I think that as the American public continues to wake up and to realize that the 9/11 and this crisis scenario that we're constantly dealing with and this fear-building propaganda that we're constantly living beneath is leading to a much, much bigger picture. And I think that the churches, through money and through greed, basically, are being recruited into this despicable system to help to control people and also to etch away, to pick away at our Christian beliefs. Another thing that the United Nations has been very vocal about, really, is the fact that they believe that the Christian religion is responsible for the social injustices in the world, and they're trying to bring in a new system of belief, and it's called GAIA, G-A-I-A, and they're bringing it into the American public school systems. I think that there is no child in the United States who has not become familiar with the GAIA theory of nature worship, and of course the Agenda 21 and sustainability and the radical deep ecology, all of these things are working on the American mindset, as is mass media, to take away our Christian foundations and to implant this this deep ecology system of worship.
And of course, this is what they're teaching in our schools. This is what they're teaching in our universities.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
This is, of course, behind this whole charade of global warming, and the entire media is telling you it's real. That. And they're really all right. The Earth is warming up. Started in the 1600s, but of course, you know, the most shocking and frightening thing is that the ice caps are melting on Mars.
Yes.
The North Pole, the South Pole ice caps are melting on Mars. I wonder why they're melting on Mars. Could it be that maybe they have global warming on Mars related to the sun, just like we have global warming in the United States and in the world related to the sun? And, of course, that's what the scientists and the astronomers tell you, but you'll never hear that, of course, from the controlled media, because the media in America is controlled. But, Nancy, what you're talking about, the religion, I believe there's a conspiracy against God. Do you sense that in what we're seeing today?
I think that it's the same. It's the same thing that we're seeing everywhere. It's people control. We in this country, we have this sense that we have the freedom to believe absolutely anything we want to believe. However, through the public school system, through our universities, and through mass media, we are fed this steady stream of propaganda decade after decade after decade. And it has, in fact, changed the American consciousness of who we are and what we believe. The Constitution and the history of our country has not been taught in the public schools in the United States of America for about 30 years. And it started degrading. At the turn of the 20th century, there were actually socialist plans to implant a different mindset through using our public education system.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Nancy Levant, and we're talking really about this effort to utilize the churches to control people, and of course this effort to utilize the churches to change the message of Christianity, and they really are changing the message of Christianity.
Absolutely.
Have you noticed in your church that the music of your church has changed, that the drums are there? There never used to be drums. We used to have, organ music, but of course now we've got to be more like the world. You pick up the story there, Nancy.
Well, it's like I said, what pastors and priests in this country have got to realize is, you know, number one, you have been infiltrated by a paramilitary system that has also infiltrated the banks, the libraries, our transportation and road systems, our entire infrastructural systems, our trade and commerce systems. We've got the Real ID mandatory coming in 2008. It's infiltrated our computers, our telephones, our cell phones, our televisions. It's infiltrated our license plates. We've got RFID technology being sold out of Walmart. It's infiltrated our prison systems, our rights to travel, our rights to the usage and amounts of usage from our power grid systems. It's infiltrated our state, our federal, and our local governments. It's not just in the churches. It is everywhere. Now, the question is, why? What is being set up? What is really going on? You've got to look at the big picture. Now, the bottom line for me, beneath the base of this big picture, what I see in this country is that there's a martial law system that's ready to go. I see practice drills, using these weather emergencies, where all of a sudden there's a storm, there's a flood. We've had them since the beginning of the time, and now every time this paramilitary system swoops in and 500,000 people are forced away from their homes and their property. We see insurance companies in the United States of America that are refusing to insure homes in certain parts of the country, on certain rivers, next to the ocean, so on and so forth. What you're seeing is a fundamental infrastructural change in our government. It is happening directly beneath our noses. It's right there for all of us to see. Now, it sickens me to see the church get sucked into this, because we've got enough problems in the church as is, because of the cultural poisoning that we have to deal with through our public education system, and particularly through the media.
All right, now I'm going to ask you to hold that thought, because we're going to have to bring all of our stations back on board here at Radio Liberty right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Nancy Levant. And before we go on, Nancy, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your book. And do you have a web page, or do you have most of your things posted up on newsreviews.com?
Well, I have actually 16 sites that I publish weekly all over the country. Newswithviews.com is a very, very special site to me, obviously. Paul Walter, who is a very, very wonderful editor and a very wise man, someone that I have a great deal of respect for in providing people with good and solid news and commentary. My book, I do have a new book out. It's called The Cultural Devastation of American Women. And basically the book is about, through, once again, public education, mass media, the beauty industries, the diet industries, the health industries, so on and so forth. My take on this is that women have actually lost many of the rights to freedom that they celebrate here in this country. I see women who are, I think, in very bad shape. I think that we have women who are incapable of marriage in many ways. They're incapable of motherhood and good parenting in many ways. I see what looks to me like almost pathological vanity and self-absorption. When you're talking about well, it, I mean, the list is endless. When you're talking about the tanning, the teeth bleaching, the nails, the pedicures, the waxing, it's just endless what women are doing to themselves in the name of beauty, according to big business. And I think that it has literally damaged our psyches. I think that it has damaged our intuitive abilities as women. And I think that we've actually lost, I think that we have mishandled our freedom in this country, brutally speaking.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out in the listening audience, why, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, Nancy, how can people get hold of your book?
The book is called The Cultural Devastation of American Women. The easiest way to get the book is to go to Amazon.com's book section and simply type in the title, The Cultural Devastation of American Women, and the buy page will pop right up for you.
All right, fine. In fact, we're getting a copy, and we'll be doing a program, here with Nancy later on after we've had a chance to review her book. And I agree with Nancy. They're using the threat of terrorism to take away our freedom. Now, is there really a threat of terrorism? Well, logic would tell any one of our listeners that if George Bush really believed that we were in danger of terrorism, he would have immediately sealed our southern border immediately after 9/11, and he refused to do it. If he was really concerned about the threat of terrorism, he would have certainly made sure that every pilot was armed, airline pilot, but he's blocked that. We would have had certainly marshals on every plane. We have them on perhaps 10% of the planes. We would have racial profiling because certainly almost all of the Islamic terrorists are simply Near East or Muslim descent. So the only one that wasn't that we can think of is Richard Reed, who was a really sort of a people-minded guy, was actually recruited into an MI5-sponsored, British intelligence-sponsored and financed mosque, and then set up for the shoe bomb, where he was supposed to light the fuses on his shoes, and he's sitting there in the plane, fiddling with matches. Can you imagine a no-smoking flight? You're trying to light your shoelaces or you light the fuses. He wasn't even smart enough to light the fuses. Of course, you can't set off C4 with fuses anyway. You have to have blasting caps, but that didn't really matter. It was how they used to justify. Now we all have to take off our shoes when we go through the line. If there's really a threat, of fluids being used to carry, nitroglycerin or acetone or other things that are potentially explosive, why have they waited 5 years since the 9/11 attack before they're suddenly going to take away our toothpaste and our eye wash and our mouthwash? And why would they do that immediately after they'd arrested all the people who were supposedly involved in this plot? So there are a lot of unanswered questions. Is it possible that they're using the threat of terrorism to establish a police state in America? Do you think that is possible, Nancy?
Well, the dots certainly connect in that direction. Is the Mideast mad at the United States? Well, I guess so. What person living in Afghanistan or Iraq has not suffered under this occupation? My question is, what are we doing over there? What have we accomplished over there besides tremendous suffering on both sides of this ocean here?
Well, of course, what happened when we went in, the price of oil was about $30 a barrel. We got the price of oil up to $75 a barrel. And every time they start to getting the pipelines, repaired, somebody blows them up again. Under Saddam, we had a steady supply of oil. Without Saddam, we've got the price way up there, haven't we?
But
I'm sure that couldn't be intentional.
Yes, and guess what? 90% of the American people, our lives, our lifestyles are going down, 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 just as is highly desired. As per the wishes of Agenda 21, where we need to basically come down to more of a third world style living, which is what they want. They want us to stop eating meat. They want us to stop using central heat and central air conditioning. I mean, there's too much, too many dots that connect.
In fact, I had a laugh during this latest heat wave. They were saying, now, you should cut back. You know, we're overusing electricity, so cut your air conditioning back to 78. And I said, 78? Why even bother to use it if you're going to have it set at 78? And yet that's what they were advertising. I don't know how many of our listeners heard those ads. You know, cut your air conditioning, your temperature in your house back to 78 to conserve on electricity. And it's all a scam, you know. We didn't have this problem before they began to deregulate electricity in the name of saving us money. And when they deregulated electricity, they doubled the cost of electricity, at least here in California.
Absolutely.
They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know.
Nope, they don't want the American people to know. But the American people are finding out. It's a very, very, very bitter pill because, of course, the people that are doing this to us are the Democrats and the Republicans, both sides, most powerful groups, most powerful families. We elected them. We elected them over and over and over again. And that's a very, very bitter pill to swallow. And it's very hard for the American people to admit wrong on such a level. However, we have been grossly deceived and grossly manipulated. And it's time for the American people to simply be strong and to say, okay, we're going to stop this and we're going to take back our country because it is ours. It does not belong to our politicians. It does not belong to our elected. They work for us.
Well, somebody just called in, didn't want to come on the air. They wanted to know if you knew what Rex 83 means, possibly connected with Oliver North in the 1980s when he was actually working on a program to suspend the Constitution in case of a national emergency and begin putting people into detention camps.
Well, Rex 83 has to do with civilian labor camps. And now I'm not an expert on this topic. I have read many things about this topic. But there were programs that were put into place in the past where many, many civilian labor camps were reportedly built in this country. I have recently read that Halliburton just received, I believe, a $385 million contract to build some more.
I think you're absolutely right, yes. $385 million to Halliburton, incidentally Dick Cheney's old company,
yes,
to build detention camps that would be used in case of a national emergency. Now, I would think every American should be concerned about them building detention camps here in America.
Well, you know, the question is, who are they for? Are they for me, because I speak out? Are they for our illegal aliens who are flooding into our borders with welcome mats?
Well, George Bush says that, that certainly there's no way we could round them up and send them home. In fact, he doesn't want to give them amnesty. He just wants to let them stay here and become citizens.
Another question in my mind is, should a quote-unquote pandemic hit this country, are those labor camps to hold and detain the sick? That's a very, very big question. And we don't know what the answer to that is, but we do know that there are, in fact, civilian labor camps. The Rex 84 system also put civilian labor camps on homeland soil.
In fact, we even have some of the directives from the government on that, and you can get those if you get the concentration camp special from Radio Liberty, and you'll actually see the Iran-Contra hearings when Congressman Jack Brooks tries to ask Oliver North, Colonel Oliver North, who has always been part of this whole invisible government, ask him about this plan he was working on in case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and arrest American citizens. Now, this is probably 86 or 87 during the Iran-Contra hearings, and Senator Inouye keeps interrupting over and over again. He says, we don't want to talk about that here, and it's very obvious they don't want the American people to know.
They don't want us to know, yes. If you want to get some current information on the civilian labor camps in the United States, go to your search engine, type in the words civilian labor camp, comma, Department of Army, and you will get some very interesting information straight out of the Army.
In fact, they have plans for, and we actually carry that, where actually they have plans for civilians to be used in these concentration camps.
That is correct.
And they'll be used by our military for labor, just like they did in Hitler's Germany or in Stalin's Russia. And people say, that could never happen in America. And I would ask,
now,
if God is just, why wouldn't it happen in America?
Now, combine that information with the fact that the Department of Homeland Security now has some type of administrative, very vague administrative authority over 90% of the churches in the United States of America. Now, you know, once again, I say, people, connect the dots. Look at Agenda 21. Look at the paramilitary systems that have been set up in this country. Look at the executive orders that have, over the last 20 years, laid this martial law system into place. You can include the Rex program in that if you'd like to. You can include the Halliburton $385 million contract for more civilian labor camps. And you've got to look at the big picture. There's more to this Homeland Security / church connection than simply making it easier for churches to do social work. That's ridiculous, people. And if that's what you think, then you're not thinking with a full deck.
Maybe the elevator isn't going all the way to the top. I think that's another way of saying it.
Absolutely.
Well, I certainly can share your concern. I think that we saw really what the government could do down in New Orleans when, of course, FEMA came in and did everything they could to disrupt relief efforts. And then, of course, they didn't have enough National Guard troops because they're all over there fighting for freedom in Iraq and Afghanistan. And so they had to bring in regular army troops in violation of the Posse Comitatus statutes. And then what was even more interesting is they brought in their professional murderers. These are Blackstone mercenaries. They're professional killers, highly trained, and they use them... private armies. They use them extensively over in Iraq, where they're training them in all sorts of means of... And a lot of the atrocities that are being carried out over there are being carried out, you know, at the instigation of these private armies. And there are literally tens of thousands of these people being paid up to $150,000 a year. They're ex-military, special forces. And they do what they're told to do, and they kill who they're told to kill. And they actually brought these people down to patrol the streets in New Orleans.
And let's think about what they did when they were there. What did they do? Were they bringing in huge amounts of food and help and assistance? No. What they did was they walk around and they disarmed the law-abiding public.
They had no weapons. They had no means of protecting themselves.
That's absolutely right. Now, that's what I call one heck of a practice drill.
And you have to ask yourself, why would FEMA do everything they could to disrupt, the normal relief efforts? Why would they keep the people with their airboats and their motorboats out of there to get the people down off the roofs? FEMA cut off communications there in Jefferson Parish to the point where sheriff of Jefferson gave orders to shoot anyone from FEMA who actually disrupted the communications. Why did FEMA block the bringing in of supplies for the people? FEMA, you know, should have been immediately dissolved. How many people were fired from FEMA and from the Office of Homeland Security after that debacle? And I think you're absolutely right, Nancy. I think it was a trial to see how much the American people would take.
Well, I think it was yes. And I think that it was also just a practice drill for this new paramilitary system. And I think that every time there is another quote-unquote fire, quote-unquote flood, once again, we've got these same people coming in and forcibly removing people from their homes, disarming people. And, you know, what we are seeing is practice drills. Practice drills for what? I think the ultimate is when there will be such a crisis in this country, no matter what it is, whether it's the stock market crashes, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's nuclear bombs going off in multiple cities, who knows? But I think that the ultimate is the day that the Constitution is suspended according to executive orders. And I think that will, in fact, be the end of the United States. And I think that the compliant for this new governmental system, you know, maybe they'll make it. I think that the people who are the non-compliant, I think we're in for a huge battle. And but, you know, something is definitely afoot. And you cannot possibly, at this stage of the game, think that this is simply about Mideastern terrorism. Too much has changed in this country. Look at our public schools. Look at the condition of our churches. It's in every single system. Look at our healthcare system. It's in every single socioeconomic cultural system in this country. Everything has been changed.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that hopefully our people will begin to think and analyze and begin asking questions, because nothing happens by accident.
Yes.
These people on the other side know exactly what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And what are they planning for? They know something big is going to happen. And if we wait until it happens, it may well be too late. We'll be back in just a moment here to wrap up this evening's program. Well, Nancy, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up this segment of the program.
Well, I would just like to say to the American people, this is it's all a lot to take in. It's hard to stomach. It's hard to think it through. But it's all out there for you. Please begin by reading Agenda 21, or at least reading commentary on Agenda 21. It's an important place to begin, because you're going to recognize, after you read that document, you will recognize the changes that you have seen in all of your local communities. You will recognize the land confiscation schemes through land trusts and land development schemes. The new bureaucracy, the new economic system of this new one world government is based in partnerships and networks. It's based in nonprofit money, and what happens in all of these partnerships and these interconnecting and overlapping economic systems is that you constantly have masters up on top of you that are telling you how you have to use your money and how the things that you have to do. We're seeing this in our churches today. The faith-based churches that are taking federal money, grant money, Department of Homeland Security money, however, wherever it comes from, you're seeing that the churches are now involved in ecology and in global warming and in educating the community on these political topics, even though they're supposed to be non-political entities. They are, in fact, doing the work commanded by their financial masters. And this is the new economic system of the one world government. It is very, very important that you understand the big picture and that you connect the dots and that you read. I think people should get together and start an ACE chapter.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about ACE chapters?
ACE is an organization called Americans for Constitutional Enforcement. The sole mission of ACE, if you start a chapter in your local community, is to study these subjects together with your friends, your family, your congregations. You study selected subjects of this new global government, how it's working, how it's being carried out in the United States, and then you then make create community education programs where you can, in fact, educate your entire community about what is happening. The only chance, the only power that is left in this country is in our great numbers.
And, of course, the fact that we are the majority and they're a minority. They are evil and wicked people, and we have righteousness on our side. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and, of course, our guest this evening has been Nancy Levant, and she'll be with us this next hour. And right now is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you, of course, would like to help us, why, you could join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and then, of course, you'll get either our four best tapes or four best CDs of the month. You get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be actively helping us as we reach out across America 5 hours a day on about 60 different outlets every week. Some of them are just half an hour. The weekend program goes to over 30 stations, but at least we're reaching people and getting them thinking. And you can help us. You can be part of our team, because we need all the voices we can get. And Nancy writes articles, and I do talk radio, and, of course, sometimes we team up. But you can become part of our team if you'd like to. So then, of course, if you'd like to know more about this whole idea of Agenda 21 and sustainable development, we actually offer here through our ministry a copy of the Santa Cruz County Agenda 21, which is just like the programs that are being instituted all across the world, because this is a worldwide movement, carefully coordinated, but the average individual has never even heard of Agenda 21. It is the secret agenda. It is the totalitarian agenda. It is the authoritarian agenda for taking away your property rights, your freedom in the 21st century. That's what it's all about. And, of course, then we have something called Sustainable Development, a syllabus, where you actually get the copies of the Global Biodiversity Assessment and the Earth Charter and picture, my material on population control and how they really do intend to kill off most of the people in this in our society. And, of course, we just give you the quotes from people like Jacques Cousteau and certainly Bertrand Russell and other this elite group who have a different worldview, who thinks so little of the value of human life. So if you get the Sustainable Development Syllabus, you'll get information on Marie Strong and the Georgia Guidestones in Elberton, Georgia. You'll see the pictures of it. The syllabus really is well worthwhile having. And then, of course, you can get the four-tape set on sustainable development and or the video. Really, the video goes with the syllabus, and the two together will give you a solid background, an introduction to this amazing movement that most people have never heard of, that came out of the Second Earth Summit in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, the most important meeting of the last 100 years, and yet most people have never heard of it because they're not supposed to. And then, of course, if you'd like to understand where we're headed financially, our talk on the financial tsunami, available either on DVD or on VHS with a syllabus, which we recommend. If you want to understand how they're poisoning your children and poisoning you, and your fertility, and of course increasing the incidence of Down's disease, and creating sperm that really don't function very well, and decreasing your thyroid function and increasing cancer by the use of water fluoridation, and they know, of course, what this is all about. We have a syllabus. It's called The Hidden Agenda, and it has all the scientific studies and even the things from the CDC, which admits that they know how dangerous this is, but they're not going to tell you. And then, of course, we have our talk, which is on VHS. It's pretty rather good. It's called The Hidden Agenda, and it goes into the background of water fluoridation. And we have books on the fluoride deception, and we have four tapes on fluoride. Understand, they're poisoning the American people. Why would they want to do that? Well, number one, fertility control, but also, of course, it affects your mind. And if you go into countries where they have water fluoridation, there are no geniuses. There are a lot of people that are more down in this IQ of 70. You triple the number of people who are, are morons down in that category. And why do you think our children are doing so poorly when they graduate from high school? They cannot compete scholastically with children from other schools. Would anybody poison the American children? You need to get the hidden agenda. You need to get the scientific studies. It's all there. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, our webpage, radioliberty.com. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And we'll be back here in just a moment for the next hour. And don't even think about changing the dial. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guest. And, well, for the second hour this evening, we have Nancy Levant, who's an author, and she, of course, writes a number of fascinating articles, and you'll find them up on newswithviews.com. That's one word, newswithviews.com. And, of course, you should be on their email list. I peruse their articles every day, and whenever one of Nancy's articles come up, I always pull them down. Of course, I have a couple of very favorite authors there, but many of the guests that we have on our radio programs come from the writers at News with Views, because they are unique individuals who understand what's going on and are willing to speak out. So, of course, this next hour we're going to be talking, I think that Nancy wants to talk about Gaia. I wonder if she'd like to talk about the ID card that's going to be here in the year 2008. And of course, most of you do not know about that. But then, of course, you would not expect the media to tell you the truth. Do you want to talk about the ID card? Do you want to talk about Gaia? Or would you like to talk about both of them?
Well, we can talk about a little bit of everything, because
all right,
it all fits into the same big picture.
It sure does. It's just a few more of the dots that we need to get people out there connecting. So you start out, and I'll just pick it up. I'm just going to give you full rein. Go ahead.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Real ID card. The Real ID card will go into effect in the United States of America in May of 2008. It's a done deal. The Real ID card is a national identification card. And, excuse me, once again, it was implemented under the guise of terrorism. And what it does is it basically takes our Social Security, our driver's license, our financial, our health records, everything, and puts it all on one card. Now, that's sounds very handy-dandy, I suppose, but it opens the door to total, you know, we have been hit with this propaganda of identity theft for at least 15 years.
Oh, but isn't it amazing, Nancy, how they're doing it now? You see all these ads on television. And you wonder what there are. They've got a man who talks like a woman and a woman who talks like a man.
What's the dialectic in that?
or you know, the oh, my goodness, somebody stole a laptop computer with 27 million identities on it, and then the next thing I know, I'm getting a letter from the Veterans Administration that they sent to 27 million veterans saying they may have stolen your identity.
Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, it's amazing. How do they really think we're that gullible?
Well, they're not even good at it. They're not even good at lying. But nonetheless, we have this identity theft issue, which has been pounded upon us for 15 or 20 years.
But never more than they're really hitting us now with it.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, like a big sledgehammer right on the top of the head. And don't you feel that? Well, let me hit you again.
Yes, and what we have now as a magical cure, or a dialectical cure, I would like to say, is the Real ID card. Well, now just imagine, if you will, someone or stealing or losing your Real ID card that has every single piece of information about you on that card, from your political affiliation to your medical records to your financial records, your banking records, to your, you know, what you buy, you know, absolutely everything. Well, that would pretty much make identity theft picture perfect. Now, where I see the Real ID leading to is the subdermal chipping. The solution to real identity theft, or a theft of the Real ID card, would be to get a chip implanted beneath your skin so that we wouldn't have to carry the silly Real ID card.
Wouldn't that be just a wonderful, wonderful solution? It's so simple. All you have to do is just take the little chip. Well, I guess it's Nancy Levant. Nancy, go ahead and pick up the story, because, you know, I've been thinking exactly the same thing all of this propaganda that they're putting out get us to, you know, to accept, you know, this the chip. Really, this is what it's really all about. The ID card is simply a stepping stone to the chip. But then, after all, you know, how are we going to keep those illegal immigrants out of the country? Now they're not going to be able to come in and get a job, or, you know, Osama bin Laden might sneak into the country, or al-Zawahiri, or Muhammad Atta, or one of these guys could just sneak in here. But they couldn't have a real ID card. That's how we would know who the real Americans are and who the wicked terrorists are. The agents of Osama bin Laden, who's sending them over from the cave. Go ahead.
Well, we're basically getting our papers, please, just like they did in Germany. And it's very scary. We did not ask for this. This was imposed upon us once again with not too much fanfare. Most, you go ask your neighbors about the real ID card, and they have no clue what you're talking about. So once again, it's another thing that the media has purposefully withheld from the American public.
Now, basically, this is going to be your state, the driver's license, but all states have to have the same thing, the same material. It's all going to be linked into a federal database, and then it's gotcha.
Well, that's right. And if you refuse to get the federal ID card, here's what's going to happen. If you refuse to get what they call the real ID, number one, you won't be able to drive a car. Number two, you won't be able to board an airplane. Number three, you won't be able to get into any governmental building, particularly a federal building. There are rumors that you will not be able to open a bank account without a real ID card. I strongly suspect that you may not be able to buy from our big transnational superstores food. You may not be able to purchase gasoline. Now, I don't know these things for a fact, but I see it coming. And if we refuse the national ID card, your lives are going to change.
But of course, Nancy, they're going to say, but why would anybody not want to do this? And, I mean, it'll be so easy. And if you're not a criminal, you don't have anything to worry about. It's only the criminals have anything to worry about. How do you counter that argument?
Well, think of it this way. Let's think of the ID that every American person carries upon their person right now. We have our driver's license. We have our social security number. We have our address, our phone number. We have our license plates on our cars. We have our insurance cards.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Nancy. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Nancy Levant, and I pointed out to Nancy, I understand her concern about this forced and federal identification card. Of course, they're going to do it through the states, and the states will voluntarily all create the same card, and they will have, of course, they're really going to be forced to, and they'll all have the same card, and there'll be a massive database with everything about you on that. And when they just swipe the card, why, there's all of the information on you. And but I said to Nancy, well, why should you be worried? Why would somebody, you know, who has not been done anything wrong, be worried about the federal government giving us a card? And so what? How would you answer that question, Nancy?
Well, because it's the same scenario as we have seen in Nazi Germany, where people had to have a national ID. My point that I was making was, let's look at the ID that we carry now. We have our driver's license, our address, our phone numbers, our social security numbers, our license plate numbers, our VIN numbers, or our vehicle verification numbers. It's our insurance numbers. It's endless. We carry so much ID that it's a joke in this country as is. Now imagine taking all of that information, putting it on one card, and then add all of your medical history, all of your medical information, your political affiliations. It's just endless.
You know, I think we should be concerned, because George Bush has said, you're either with us or with the terrorists. Well, we don't necessarily agree with everything George Bush is saying. Does that mean we're with the terrorists? George Bush has said it. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. There's no place in between. So, are you going to support everything the federal government's doing? are you going to be part of this terrorist movement? Because that is, of course, the only two alternatives he gives us. Now, do you really support the Bush administration's program on torture? Because they do have a program on torture. They've allowed torture to take place. How could a Christian administration do that? They do have a program of actually kidnapping people and taking them to other countries for torture. And where is the outcry from the Christian leaders of this country? Why, they're all behind the president because he's pro-life. And, well, at least he says he's pro-life, although he has not yet saved one child from being aborted. And even the one opportunity he had, which was partial birth abortion, he signed legislation that just forgot to put on a stipulation that it could not be, interpreted by the courts, which the government has the right to do, which the Congress can do. You simply put a stipulation on it, limit the appellate jurisdiction of the Supreme Court for partial birth abortion, and all of that work to get a president in and to control both houses of Congress didn't save one child from being partially birth aborted. So we got a real
problem. Well, it's not going to either, and I'll tell you why. It's because Agenda 21, one of their primary missions is to lower the global population by absolutely murderous numbers. Murderous. Eugenics is alive and well, folks. And it's, abortion is not going to be ruled illegal in this country. They are trying to impose reproductive rights legislation in almost every state in the country through our state governors. I mean, this is a mission that is not going away.
And it's all about population control, really.
It's about population control. And I think that it's about getting rid of, certain segments of society that are quote-unquote undesirable. The science of eugenics has been alive and well for a century, and it hasn't gone away. You can call it by any flavor that you want to call it. You can call it the Human Genome Project. You can call it whatever you want. But as long as superviruses are manufactured, and we know that they are, and as long as the United Nations can come forward, as can the Wildlands Project and the Nature Conservancy and all of these other organizations that are partnered with the UN, can come forward and say that massive, massive depopulation of the planet is mandated by 2050, we can anticipate that they've got plans in the works.
Yes, but of course we can't let the public know that. We can't let them know that they actually have the capacity to create new deadly epidemics. In fact, nobody ever asked where Ebola came from or Marburg or where AIDS came from or chronic fatigue syndrome came from or Morgellons disease or Lyme disease, all new diseases. And gee shucks, we have no idea where they came from, but we're sure going to do something about them.
Well, do you remember back in the old days when Parkinson's disease was a very, very rare disease?
Right, sure.
And, now we have, it's just unending what's happening to our senior citizens. They're the most drugged group of people. American senior citizens are the most drugged group of people on the entire planet. And, one of America's problems is that as the baby boomers come into their eldership and their old age, there are so many of us. And, I strongly suspect that we're a target population that is zeroed in upon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we know, Chris, what they're doing with the influenza shots that are loaded with mercury they're giving to the elderly increases the incidence of Alzheimer's disease 1,000%. They know that. They just don't want the poor people who are foolishly allowing them to be talked into taking in these influenza shots or giving them to pregnant women so that it will go into the brain of their child and create either abort the child or create a defective child, and then insisting on giving shots loaded with mercury, which is the most toxic substance known to mankind, to six-month-old children, flu shots with the name of, we're from the government, we're here to help. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. The whole population control agenda is so frightening that the average individual finds it impossible to believe that we would ban the use of DDT and kill almost 100 million people over the last 33 years. But
absolutely,
it's happened, and they knew exactly what they were doing when they banned DDT.
Well, and let's look at the substances that have been used on the American military in the last, 50, 60, 70 years. We've got Agent Orange. We have depleted uranium. God knows what else.
Don't forget the Gulf War syndrome. Almost a third of the third to a half of the veterans of the first Gulf War are ill, and almost a third of the people coming back from the second Gulf War, the ones we're involved in now, are ill within 3 months.
That's right. And, you know, we are actually a sick population. We have people with absolutely chronic sinus conditions, chronic bronchitis, chronic pneumonia, chronic asthma, and this is all new. I mean, in the history of this country, it's new.
Don't forget about, of course, the exploding diabetes, not only juvenile
diabetes, and yes, well,
and
thanks
cancer
to
cancer and all of these things, right?
Yes, and you know, and yet there's this dialectic that goes on through the mass media that says, "Oh, we're living to be 100 years old, and we're healthier, and we're better than we've ever been," and all of this stuff. It's simply not true. I think that we are being damaged, and I think that the reason why is because there is a global initiative to lower the population by billions and billions of people.
Well, they certainly did in Africa, where it's certainly places like Botswana, the average age of a male was about 64, and now it's down to about 34.
Didn't happen
by accident. It happened because they've allowed the AIDS epidemic to sweep across Africa, and of course, many of the children who have the disease didn't get it from their mothers, because their mothers are HIV negative. Now they suggest, well, maybe they made a mistake and they used a dirty needle when they vaccinated them. Nobody wants to suggest that maybe that virus was actually in the vaccine.
You know, Dr. Monteith, maybe you can answer this question for me. I read once, maybe a year ago, that when the mercury-laced vaccines were finally linked to autism in children in this country, that all of the millions and millions of vaccines that we had in this country were actually boxed up and shipped off to Africa.
No, actually, they allowed them. They came up with a directive in 1999 that mercury was potentially harmful, and so they allowed it to be given in America until 2003. They gave them until 2003 to get the mercury out of the vaccines, and by now, most of the mercury is out of the childhood vaccines, although it's been left in the influenza vaccine. But we still continue manufacturing the vaccines with the mercury in it. Those are for those children of the third world countries that we want to help so much. Because you see what this really does, it has a profound impact on fertility, not at least in animals. In the first generation, of course, the animals have abortions, but the second and third generation of animals have fertility problems, real problems conceiving and having children. That is one reason why they want to get the mercury into the bodies of these children, because it changes their genetic makeup in third world countries throughout the world. And you find people like Bill Gates, who's so interested in population control, but he wants to vaccinate all those children. And you have to wonder, why would anybody who wants population control want to vaccinate children and prolong their lives? Or maybe there's another agenda.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's like I said, folks, we are living in the dialectical world.
We're living in almost like a matrix letter world, and there are only a few of us are still, they haven't got them into the match yet.
Correct.
All right, well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to talk to Nancy, and right now we're talking about the ID card, which everybody's going to have by, what is it, March or May of
2008.
May 1,000 2008. All, of course, your state driver's license will have to conform to federal requirements. And, of course, that's the old thing, we gotcha. Of course, it used to say in Germany, let's show us your papers. Now it'll be your ID card, and the next thing, it'll be the chip, because it's so much more efficient. Well, Nancy, when you tell people about this, what's your response?
Well, you know, I have a lot of people who write to me and say, are you going to take the ID card? And, you know, that's a really, really difficult question, isn't it? I don't live where I work. I have to drive a car to earn a living. It is a question that belabors every day. It is something not to ask a single person or myself. It is a question that as a nation we have to ask ourselves. And we have to ask ourselves how much more we are going to allow to be taken from us. We have to consider the rules and regulations and actually the police state that we live beneath now. We have to have licenses to work. We have to have licenses to drive. We have to sign 100 or more forms to buy a home. We have to have registrations and this and that and the other. We have to have ID cards for practically everything, for work, for libraries, for anything that we use or that we do. And we have tremendous restrictions in driving. We have tremendous restrictions in now water usage and power usage. And at every turn, we're made to feel guilty. We're too fat, we're too this, we're too that. And yet, there's this undercurrent that flows beneath us, almost like an underground river that we don't see, of the genetically modified food, of the additives in our water, and of all of these rules and regulations, and where do they go, and what does it lead to? And once again, people, what we have to realize is that the entire infrastructure of our constitutional governance and therefore our rights, our civil rights as people in this country are being taken away, as is our health. I also believe that our intellect has been severely degraded through our public school system and mass media and by virtue of the additives in our food and water. And once again, we're in this tremendous position of having to connect dots in a world where we are so indebted, where we simply work to pay bills, where we cannot save. Instead of working 8 hours a day, we're working 12 hours a day. And almost every senior citizen that I know is working. These are retired people. You know, our lives are changing, and we're so busy and we're so sidetracked by health and by media is that it's very hard for us to connect the dots. But if we're going to save this nation, if we're going to even attempt to save this nation, our Constitution, and any freedoms that we don't have them anymore, but we think we still do, we're going to have to come together as a completely united people, as a nonpartisan people, and we're going to have to say to the people who are running this country, stop, you're done, you're fired.
Well, if you're going to have enough people to really care about what's going on, and we need to get the people, certainly within the police force and within the military, and everybody, of course, who really loves America, informed and educated about what's going on.
Yes.
And only when that happens, when there are enough people who care, will we be able to turn this thing back. And also understanding that behind what's going on are powerful, powerful spiritual forces. We'll be right. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Nancy Levant, and our producer has asked if you would talk about Gaia.
Yes, Gaia. Okay, Gaia. Gaia is what I like to call a think tank religion. I would tell you that maybe the Aspen Institute, maybe some other ones of the big political think tanks, global think tanks, got together. And with the help of people like Maurice Strong and with the Earth Charter people, Gorbachev, so on and so forth, got together, they had to create a way to change a belief in unalienable rights, a belief in a Christian-based government. And the way that they did this was they created this eco-scenario, an ecology scenario, whereby the world is dying because of our misuse of natural resources and so on and so forth. And so we were needed to become nature worshipers. Gaia is a belief in nature as deity.
So of course, Gaia really, I think, is sort of Mother Earth, and a Mother Earth is our mother. We should love Mother Earth, you know. She's a god. She's the goddess, and really, and people really do believe that, you know, they hug trees, they worship nature, they worship the creation rather than the creator. And this takes us into all sorts of pantheistic beliefs. You know, the rock and the tree and the animal were all one.
Yes, and, you know, yes, we you know, Christian people are raised to believe that we are to love nature, to care for nature, to be good custodians of the planet, and to be compassionate towards animals. And this is what we all believe. The people who have damaged nature are, to the most degree, would be the largest corporations on Earth, the very greed-driven industries. It's not you. It's not me. We try our best. And granted, we have done things that we shouldn't have done. We shouldn't have been spraying our yard with chemicals and killing everything that we could and making our yards artificially green. We bought into that, and we shouldn't have done it, and we have to deal with ourselves on these issues. But Gaia is the belief that nature is God and to be worshipped by us. And what it does is it breaks down Christian belief. Now, that is the main function of this think tank created religion. It breaks down the traditional beliefs in unalienable rights, number one. It also removes our children from the beliefs of their parents. Now, this has been very, very successful. And particularly in university-age students of today. I feel sorry for the kids that go into ecology studies, because they go in there with a good heart. They want to help nature. They want to preserve nature. And their intentions are good. However, but they have been so misled, because what they don't realize is that they are basically taking quote-unquote nature away from the common man, which is you and me, and through our private property rights, and they are handing it over to these transnational corporations who will then continue to rape and rob the planet of its natural resources. They don't realize that they're doing this. They don't have a clue. They haven't read Agenda 21. They haven't, you know, connected the dots. But the worship of Gaia is absolutely here. It's all throughout our universities, and it is now in all of our public schools. My daughter, for several years, was in a charter school. I really liked the school. It was an online school. I liked it very much. And all of a sudden, one year, about 2 or 3 years ago, the total curriculum changed. The first thing that I saw in both science and in literature studies was Gaia. And the actual word is capital G-A-I-A, and it was brought in through literary studies, it was brought in through the science curriculum, and as was, you know, the multiculturalism and the constitution. And biblical beliefs were portrayed as quote-unquote myths.
Now hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. And Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Nancy Levat. We're talking about the ecology movement as it moved into her daughter's school and as they began to, of course, change everything. And they began to refer to Christianity as a myth. And, of course, the really important thing was this worship of Mother Earth, Gaia. So pick up the story there, Nancy.
Well, the whole multiculturalism is global governance based. The belief in Gaia, or the transforming a Christian country into another religion, once again, that is at the mandate of global governance. They are socially reengineering our belief systems in the United States of America away from unalienable rights, away from individual rights, and constitutional governance toward actually what is called communitarian law. And communitarian law is basically what the EU or the European Union is based upon. And it is consensus versus individual rights. It's group rights versus individual rights, so on and so forth. And, we are being socially reengineered. This is why when you watch television, you know, all you see is nature scenarios, crisis scenarios, this could happen tomorrow, all of these movies and these crisis scenarios, they are preparing us for the ultimate change. And the ultimate change is the fall of our constitutional governance and the fall of the Christian religion as the primary religion in this country.
Well, they're certainly doing a good job of undermining Christianity, not only here, but all throughout the world. At one time, of course, Western Europe was the bulwark of Christianity. And in Germany, where, of course, the Protestant faith began, why, of course, the churches are empty. The churches are empty. And in France, in fact, it said there are far more mosques than there are than churches in France. And certainly, why, the mosques have a lot of people in them. There's not very many people in the Christian churches. The same thing is true in Great Britain. There is a conspiracy against Christianity. It's working throughout the rest of the world. America, at least until recently, has still held to her Christian beliefs. But now the churches have been infiltrated, and now we have a leader. His name is Rick Warren. He's going to save the world. He has a wonderful plan to change the entire thrust of Christianity, the message and the music of the traditional Protestant church. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Nancy Levat. Our telephone number, if you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, here in the Central Coast of California. And we're talking about Gaia, or Gaia, this Mother Earth figure that is the ethereal individual that we should worship because she represents nature. So why don't you pick up the story there?
Well, you know, one thing that I always like to be careful of when I talk about this subject is, the Native American people of this country have always had a very earth-based religion. And it's different. It's not this Gaia religion. Gaia was invented by these highly educated white bureaucrats in business suits that worked for think tanks. And it was very purposefully perpetrated upon the American public through the American public school system and mass media. And universities were paid huge amounts of money in grant-funded programs to bring this deep ecology into the consciousness of our college students. And it's like I said, I do not blame these students who are going into these ecology programs. They have been misled, they have been misguided, and ultimately they will figure that out when they realize that all of this private property that used to belong to people in the United States is now in the hands of these mega monstrous corporations that are transnational global corporations.
Well, you have a fascinating article called Never Underestimate Stupidity. Do you want to cover that? I thought that was really rather interesting.
Yeah, well, my youngest child attended a library program where this group brought in a whole bunch of animals. So she wanted to go, and we saw this program. And there were these very young apprentice ecologists who were showing these animals and also giving their spiel, and which included, you know, talking about global warming and sustainable nature and all of this stuff and all the stuff we had to do. But ultimately what they said was that farming destroyed animal habitats and damaged wild animals and land. And, they really, really drilled these kids. And, I mean, these were children in this program primarily. It was a children's program about the evils of farming. And one child spoke out and said, well, you know, if you want to close all the farms, you know, how are the world's people going to eat? And this poor kid who was giving this very canned presentation, it just kind of choked, and he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to say, and so he just moved on to his next subject. But what I ultimately said in the article is we're looking at a very, very stupid system here. This whole global governance scam to fool the American people into tearing down their country, it was a really, really stupid way to do it. If our politicians thought that global governance was such a great idea, why didn't they tell us about it 100 years ago when they created the Federal Reserve? Why didn't they just come out and say, we think we've got a better idea than the American government? They lied all the way through it. They deceived the American public over the last century, putting this thing into place layer upon layer. Building the World Bank, building the World Trade Organization, building the World Health Organization, building the international courts. I mean, they just lied and lied and lied about what they were doing, and they kept lying, and they're still lying about it. And what I'm saying is it's gotten to the point now where they can't hide it anymore. It's here. In many respects, they have accomplished their mission. The global governance government stands. It's here. It's in the United States. It has infiltrated every social cultural system in this country. Our healthcare system, our education system, our religious system. It's here. And, you know, it's just this ongoing stupidity that they have actually lied their entire way through this system, and now all of a sudden they can't really lie about it anymore because it's here. They built the damn thing.
But Nancy, they know the American people don't want to give up their sovereignty. The American people don't want to give up their freedom. They don't want to give up our legal system. They don't want to give up really what's made America separate, different than other nations. So they've had to lie to us because their real goal, of course, is to lower our living standards, to give us the same freedoms they have in Mexico or in South Vietnam today or in North Korea. They have financed all of those regimes.
Absolutely.
They financed these tyrannical regimes throughout the world so we'd have an enemy so they could rally the people behind them, but they cannot tell people the truth. And
you
know
they
have to continue lying.
But you know what's so incredibly stupid about it? Is there's so few of them.
I know, but
when you're talking about the global population, or even just the population of the United States, which I think is around 300 million, there are a handful of these people globally that have set this thing into place and play. You know, you're talking about the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, and, you know, several other groups, Trilateral Commission, several other groups and families. And, of course, then we have to go to the central banking system.
Sure, of course.
And the big boys at the cream of that crop.
Well, of course, there are a few people, and these families go on from generation to generation.
Absolutely.
Probably most of our listeners do not know who it is who defeated Joe Lieberman in Connecticut. His name was Ned Lamont. Doesn't mean much to people. But his father was Corliss Lamont. His grandfather was Thomas Lamont, J.P. Morgan, and Thomas Lamont. Thomas Lamont, a fabulously rich man, a billionaire family, billions and
Absolutely.
Billions of dollars. Certainly the current editor of Newsweek magazine, a man named Evan Thomas. Who is he? His grandfather was Norman Thomas, who was president of the American Socialist Party, ran for the presidency on
That's
the
right.
Socialist Party repeatedly. They don't have very many people, but they move them around like chessmen on the chessboard.
Yeah,
and they're always in key positions where they can influence
yes.
our thought process. What does Ned Lamont do? He runs television. What does Ed Thompson do? Why, of course, he runs Newsweek magazine. So, or Evan Thomas. So that's how they control our reality.
Let's well, and you're talking about families. You're talking about the world's wealthiest families. You know, you cannot talk about what has happened in the United States of America without talking about the Rockefeller clan.
Sure.
And the Ford clan and the Carnegie clan. It can't be done.
Right.
You know, they have funded.
Don't forget the Mellons, of course.
They have funded the global governance missions, and they have funded the global governance scientists, and they have funded the global governance politicians in this country for decades.
Well, of course, what they really want is a feudalistic system with us as the feudal lords and us as the serfs. Let's go to Mike, who's calling in here. Hi, Mike. Did you have a question or comment?
Comment, Stan. I just wanted to add that the deep ecology is actually Greek mythology. The Gaia is the goddess of the earth, or the earth goddess.
Right.
Or more technically, you'll find different definitions all over the place, depending on what book you read, but... it's really a geocentric system of, where ultimately everything, the whole universe sprang forth from Gaia, and that just happens to be our planet. And these people complain about Christians that supposedly thought the Earth was flat. It's a little odd, but it's also found in Morals and Dogma on page 850. Where none less than Albert Pike himself brings forth these ideas. And this is in the 32nd degree, all the way up there before they start revealing this sort of thing.
That was back in 1871 when the book was read, so it's been around for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, and I would say quite likely that this is in our schools because it's also in Freemasonry, the state religion.
All right, fine. Anything else you want to say?
That's all, thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any comment on that at all, Nancy?
Well, yeah, it's just that the Gaia was put together as a system to implant, as a religious system to implant in this country through think tanks. Like the, I'm trying to think of his name, Strobe?
Strobe Talbot?
Yes.
Strobe Talbot. He was
Strobe Talbot and the Aspen Institute. I mean, this stuff came straight out of these guys.
Because Strobe Talbot's a Rhodes Scholar. He was he was Under Secretary of State for Bill Clinton. And he's a globalist. He believes in this idea of global government under the control, under the rule of a feudal elite.
Well, see, and there you have, let's go back to that, the feudal elite. What you're talking about is people... who the commoner, the common man, does not own property. And as soon as he is stripped of property, it is all but guaranteed he will be stripped of his rights to have firearms. Because the first badge of slavery is disarmament. It's the first badge of slavery. You know, look back in your Colonial Militia Acts and, you know, read about... the first badge of slavery. Slaves can't own weapons.
Well, because that's what the March on Lexington was all about, the battle at Concord Bridge, when the Redcoats were marching to, they were going to Lexington to seize the armory there, and of course the Patriots stood at Concord Bridge and fired the shot that was heard around the world.
Right.
The American young people don't understand that one of the major causes for the Revolutionary War was the effort on the part of the British Crown to disarm the people so they would be enslaved.
That is correct. That is correct. No, they haven't. No, they don't know that because the schools refuse to teach it. Well, they're not allowed to teach it.
In fact, they honestly don't understand that there
really are
people who want a dictatorship. The average American child doesn't understand or value freedom because he's never lived without it. But I will tell you, Nancy, that the people I know who've come from other countries value freedom far more than the average American. They're much more concerned about what they see happening here because they see happening here exactly what happened in their own country.
That's absolutely true. You know, I get a lot of mail from Australia and Canada, and people tell me from those countries over and over and over again, it's all happening here in exactly the same way. Yeah, the martial law systems, the contamination in the public schools and the mass media, and this radical ecology, they're all getting exactly the same message. Everything that we're hearing here is happening in the other Western countries. Everything. It's global governance. It's globally mandated.
And, of course, the thing is that people really find it hard to believe that anything could be this vast, but it really is. And I believe really behind that is this conspiracy against God. I believe that these people are motivated, whether they know it or not, by powerful spiritual forces that have been working for centuries to bring about this world government, if not millennia. It's always been the dream, going back to Alexander the Great, and certainly duplicated every few hundred years. Somebody wants to rule the world. The trouble is that never in all recorded history have they come as close to accomplishing it as they have today, because now we have the world government, we have the United Nations, we have the world army, that's NATO, we have a world court, we have a world criminal court, we have a world police force, it's Interpol. And, of course, the major force behind this whole move towards world government is the United States of America and Great Britain, which are always allied together in this common goal for the New World Order and the New World Religion.
Right, and the central banking system.
Amen to that.
Yes, sir. And, you know, that's a whole nother show. But, you know, it's like I said, it's all there. It's hard to see the big picture. But once you see it, it's very clear. And, you know, our problem now in the 21st century is we are fighting weapon systems that really cannot be fought. We can all become armed. We can reinstate all 50 state militias like Dr. Edwin Vieira recommends that we do, and I think it's a great idea. But it's not going to fight a manufactured super virus. Our guns in our homes are not going to fight psychotronic warfare technology. You know, we are in serious trouble. But the good news is that once we can get the American public educated, up to speed, and on the same page, we are a formidable force in our numbers.
I agree with you totally, Nancy, and I think our job, your job, my job, and the job of all those who are joined together with us is to educate, educate, educate. And
educate, educate. And when the people look at you and just kind of shake their heads and walk away when you're talking about this stuff, don't let them walk away. You keep sending them stuff to read. You keep talking to them. You keep sending them CDs and videos. DVKid at newswithyous.com has really, really good CDs that people need to read. You can access them on her site. I recommend that people read Dr. Edwin Vieira and Dr. Stephen Yates. These are people who are very, very important in this movement and who have put the big picture into a perspective and in words that are very understandable. And you have to understand it's all there. It's very easy to find this stuff. It's very easy to figure out the Council on Foreign Relations and their North American Community Project. It's very easy to find Agenda 21. It's very easy to read the Earth Charter and find out what's behind all of this environmental, Local 21, smart growth, sustainable garbage that we're all now dealing with in every community in America. What we're dealing with are the infrastructures of global government that are literally just pulling apart our constitutional governance and our rights under the Constitution. But we have to understand it together in order to fight it together. We have to be united.
So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this organization that you're affiliated with?
The organization is called ACE, Americans for Constitutional Enforcement. I highly, highly recommend that people write us at contact us at A4CE.org.
Now, once again, the address?
Contact us at A4CE.org.
A4CE.org, okay.
And request an information packet. We will email it to you or mail it to you through snail mail, whatever you prefer. I would also like to encourage people. I have a new book out. It's called The Cultural Devastation of American Women. I think that it's a very, very important book. I think that it's timely. And I think that every woman in this country, every girl in this country, needs to take a look at this book. And I pray that it will help you.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, of course, this is Dr. Stan, and if you want to get that book, you go to Amazon.com, or is it available in Borders or just Amazon.com right now?
Yes.
Yes, it's available in Borders or just Amazon.com.
Oh, right. I don't know if it's available at Borders yet. It just came out in print.
All right, fine.
I know that it's available at Amazon.com in the book section.
All right, well, I sent off an email to get a review copy today, Nancy, so after I've read it, I will get you back on, because you are an excellent guest, and it's...
It's so much fun to be with you. I'm so grateful.
Well, usually I have to struggle to keep the conversation going. With you, I have a hard time getting a word in edgewise, but that's great. I really appreciate it, because you have such a depth of feeling and such a great wide knowledge of so much of what's going on, and be able to understand the significance of Agenda 21 and sustainable development and this whole incredible movement towards world government. And then, of course, the spiritual forces that are working behind this. And, of course, really, of course, the whole idea is to destroy our faith in God and to replace it with faith in government. And
yes,
of course,
people, just try. Please don't give up hope. Keep trying and keep searching and keep reading.
And, of course, keep telling others. In fact, a gentleman called today bought a case of our books, going to hand them out, and other people are doing that. And you get Nancy's material. Can they copy your letters if they want to circulate them?
Absolutely.
All right.
That's my community service. Absolutely.
And so get the information. It's there. And remember, newsreviews.com. You can find those articles easily. Is there any other websites you'd like to send them to?
Oh, American Chronicle. TheFederalObserver.com, AmericanChronicle.com, the Klamath Bucket Brigade in Klamath, Oregon, a very important site, www.klamathbucketbrigade.org.
All right. Well, anyway, Chris, get Nancy's material in. It's short. I like the... I'm a little too verbose, but this is very short. It's to the point, and it makes the point, and then you're done with it, and then you go on to the next one that's got an excellent point to make. So certainly, it's up to you out there in the listening audience to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield.
Yes.
It's a battle for the survival of Western or Christian civilization. And
it's a battle for the survival of freedom.
Amen to that. Nancy Levatt, thank you so very much for being with us. It's been fun, and we'll look forward to having you on again real soon.
God bless.
Good night. God bless, too. Okay. Well, this is Nancy Levatt, and the 2 hours flew by, and I hope you enjoyed the program. Let us know if you did. We'd like to get Nancy back on again and talk about some of the other fascinating things she has. And Chris, what you need to do is learn about our Constitution, learn the difference between a Republican democracy. And incidentally, we have a pamphlet here, We Are a Republic. It's 5 of our newsletters on that. We have a pamphlet on the history of money. We have a pamphlet on genetic engineering and how they're creating new diseases to kill millions of people. Information's all available from Radio Liberty. We have 3 pamphlets on 4911. That's 4911. That tells you what really happened on that morning of September 11th, that morning that changed the world. We have three pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. That's the occult hierarchy. So all of these pamphlets are listed in our newsletter. I should say in our catalog. We'd be glad to send you a free catalog. But you can get, of course, a free copy of our newsletter by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our latest newsletter is America a Christian Nation? And I think you'll be fascinated by the fact that we point out that nobody ever defines what they're talking about when they say Christian nation. So we have all these people arguing whether we're a Christian nation or not, but we never bothered to define what our terms mean. And that's the sort of thing that the other side does. It gets you arguing about things that you've never defined, and so you really can't defend your position. Well, I think you can after reading our latest newsletter. If you want a copy, of course, it's our July newsletter, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you will go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. We hope that you'll tell others about our programs. We hope many of you will, if you possibly can, will help to support our ministry, because we're really dependent upon those of you who listen and become members of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and that's how we're able to buy time on radio stations all across America, and almost 60 outlets every week. We're able to get the truth out. So, again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Of course, we have this great new book. It's called Hostage to the Devil. It's written by Malachi Martin. And, of course, it is the story of five exorcisms documented by the Catholic Church. You will never look at the world through the same eyes again, I promise you, after you read this book. And then, of course, we also have a four-tape set of interviews with Malachi Martin. It's called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. Malachi was a Jesuit priest. And so I think you'll be fascinated by the material if you get the two of them together. Of course, there's a special. It's called the Malachi Martin Special. And then, of course, we hope you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. We have a great new DVD we're just offering now. It's called Rape of the Soul. It's put out by Silver Sword International by Michael Colazzi, who's risked everything. He's had all sorts of death threats for daring to talk about satanic implants, obscene and pornographic implants in Catholic art, not just now but down through the centuries. You'll be fascinated by this. I think it's a 130-minute film, Rape of the Soul. In fact, I have a small part in that. I went back to Chicago some months ago to do the filming, and then we went back when it was originally shown in theaters across the country. And you've never heard of this because everything has been done to suppress the truth about this amazing full-length film, Rape of the Soul. But the DVD is available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Then, of course, you need to see the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning DVD, or Megiddo 1, 2, and 3, or the latest offering from Joe Schimmel, The Da Vinci Con, Hollywood's War Against God. So pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the survival of Christian civilization. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
good afternoon. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Wherever you're situated on this great, big, beautiful blue globe floating through the void of Jan's creation, it's Friday, the 15th of September, 2006. And I'm sorry, I apologize if I'm not my normal, jovial self this morning. I'm a little bit disturbed at some of the information that we came across last night.